Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is clearly on a path to success, and I am really happy to have her on the show. She started to use Pinterest in 2011 and noticed that she was saying Pinterest over and over again to friends and family. She was discovering things online that she'd never found before. She was so excited by Pinterest that she decided to start a blog about it. This was February 2012. Fast forward a mere 8 months to September of that year, and she quit her job as a full-time oncology nurse to focus on building her business. These are the stories that make me smile and excited about the possibilities for everyone to step up and build a platform online. Now, let's hack Cynthia Sanchez. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsor, FreshBooks, not just for being our amazing sponsor of the show, but also their support is so damn good. I'm trying to get it for my year end to get done to my accountant. And I've realized that I can actually, my expenses from my bank account can be linked directly to my FreshBooks account, and it's all automatically done for me. Amazing, right? But I have a software company, as I've said, but I'm not very technically savvy. So I was doing it completely wrong, but I instantly called them and got on the phone with a real live person who walked me through it in 2 minutes, and it was immediately done. And the report was sent off to my accountant. And I just need to thank them because I may have smashed my computer otherwise, and that would have been a very expensive mistake. Try it absolutely free today at freshbooks.com/hack and join over 5 million users running their businesses hassle-free like I did today. Be sure to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. We have a very special guest today. Cynthia, thanks for joining me.
Hey, John. Thanks so much for having me.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Let us jump straight into it, Cynthia. Cynthia, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I'm just a tad bit OCD.
Nice.
I would say that that's that's the one thing. I find something that I'm really interested in it, and I can't stop thinking about it, and I just obsess over it, and I find out all the information that I can about it. That's really how my business got started. It was just kind of something that piqued my interest one day. I was like, oh, really? You can do that? And I just dove head first and haven't come back up for air yet, it seems like, in the past few years when it comes to being an entrepreneur.
Really? So wanting to find out everything about it, being a tad bit OCD, as you say, is that for, say, every aspect of your business? Or are there things that you really don't like about it? Or, you know what I mean?
I guess that's what got me started and really led me down this path. You know, I kind of came across a podcast that said, you know, that I could have a blog as a business. And it just seemed kind of like a far-fetched idea to me. But then when I started looking at it, doing research, I was like, yeah, I guess I could do something like that. And it was just nonstop for the next few weeks. How do I get a WordPress site up? What's a, you know, how do I blog? What's a widget? You know, I mean, I thought that was something from the Jetsons cartoon, you know, back when I was little. That's a widget, you know. So I had to learn a lot and figure things out. But as actually, you know, as I've gotten more into becoming a business owner and there's all these different parts and pieces, I've had to kind of rein that in a little bit because I can't know everything about everything. I have to let other people do things for me. Like, you know, when it comes to bookkeeping and taxes and that kind of stuff, my head just cannot wrap around that stuff. So my husband does that part for a business. Now we're bringing in a bookkeeper, you know, things are getting a little bit more complicated. And I just can't expect myself to know all of those things.
Right.
When it comes to, you know, the podcast, you know, when I started that for my business, you know, I did kind of get a little bit OCD again and learn everything that I could. And what's the easiest, quickest, best way that I could, you know, have my own podcast. And I got that down. It's okay, check that one off. But there's always stuff to learn, you know, equipment to improve and that type of thing. So I guess it's just that initial, let's just go, let's get in there and get it done and learn all that I can about it. But then as things have grown, I've had to, you know, realize that, okay, this can only go so far or else I'm going to spend all my time learning new things and, you know, refining things and not doing things. So it's kind of had to become a balance. So that's why I can't be completely OCD, just a tad bit.
Fair enough. So you heard a podcast that said, told you you could have a blog as a business, and which obviously there's lots of these podcasters and there's lots of people, like, I don't even know how many people at this point live really, really well off of a blog and make good living. How you knew that there had to be more to it. You knew that all this stuff. How did you convince yourself that you could actually create something online, whether it's a blog or services or products around sort of you and your brand and actually do it like for a living? How do you overcome that and be like, well, they can do it, sure, but how come Cynthia, how can I do it too?
Well, mine actually kind of happened by accident. Because I know. Yeah. So I was like, okay, you can have a blog as a business, but I don't know how to do all this stuff. I got to figure it out. And I wasn't quite willing or really didn't know how to go about making what I wanted to do into an online business. And when I first started this whole journey, this whole path, I kind of hate to call it journey. I don't know. I'm not like exploring in, you know, I don't know, some Amazon jungle or something. this is just, you know, it kind of makes it sound a little bit bigger than it is, I think. But, you know, when I started this whole thing, I was working as a radiation oncology nurse. And the kind of idea that sparked is like, I would like to take my oncology practice, you know, what I was doing for my patients in the clinic I was working at, and do something online for them. But that involves a whole realm of legal ramifications and, you know, all sorts of things to consider and think about that I wasn't quite yet ready to jump into when I had to learn all the technology side as well. So I decided, well, let's start off with the technology side and figure out that part and do something for fun, you know, not intending to start a business. I'm just trying to figure that out, you know, the blogging side, the online stuff for fun. And then once I get that figured out, then in the meantime, I can maybe develop something on the nursing, on the oncology side of things. And so I started writing, you know, what had taken over my life at that time. This was, I guess, end of 2011, beginning of 2012. Was Pinterest. I had just started using the platform and kind of fell in love with it and obsessed over that. Gosh, I'm obsessing over a lot of things today. but it was a good thing. It was a good thing because it led me to where I'm at now. I started writing about the things that I was doing on Pinterest, the impact that it had on my life, the food that I was preparing for my family, the things that I was buying, places I was going. But I was working a full-time job, have 4 kids. And, you know, so that was kind of a challenge for me to do it all. So then I started interviewing bloggers and what they were doing and projects that they were doing. And then I kind of saw how they were monetizing their blogs and what they were doing. I'm like, okay, I can see that. And then, you know, so it kind of turned into a little bit of an interview blog as well as what I was doing. And then I went to the last Blog World in New York and created some business cards just to hopefully get a couple more readers, because at that time my blog, you know, was read by me. And by me, you know, I don't think my mom even found it interesting enough to read at that point. So, you know, and to really figure out more about how to, you know, develop a blog into a business and, you know, that type of thing. And when I came back home, I left my business cards at a place where I got my haircut, because it was one of the posts that I wrote for my blog is how to use Pinterest to get a haircut. Local business owner found my card and they wanted to hire me to help them with Pinterest and their social media. And it's like, what? No, come on. I'm a nurse. That's not what I do. You don't want to hire me. I'm trying to talk them out of this, you know? And we had a couple of meetings and they, you know, we kind of figured out, I was like, okay, well, you know, this is their new business. They don't, you know, they were kind of diving into a whole new field as well. And it's like, well, okay, you know, you want to pay me to do this. Wow. Well, yeah, I can see how that could happen, because, you know, how Pinterest could be used as a marketing tool, because it had led me to so many new things to buy and to do. And without Pinterest, I would have never found those businesses. I would have never found those blogs. I was like, yeah, I could really see that. And it didn't kind of have the same feeling that Facebook had, you know, at that, you know, Facebook is more about personal conversations and it can tend to be a little bit gossipy, and it's about, you know, old high school friends and, you know, family and things like that. But I could really see how Pinterest could be used, you know, to help a small business. It's like, yeah, I can help you do that. I know, you know, I've been on it, you know, for a while now. I knew what I was, you know, the things that I was finding, it was causing me to click through and to do different things. It's like, yeah, I can help you do that. And so then a little bit more of OCD came in. So I had to learn everything that I possibly could about social media marketing. Mm-hmm. So it was nonstop books and courses and reading and podcasts and everything that I could get my hands on about doing this, because, you know, these people had trusted me to help them with their business and had hired me and were paying me. I wanted to do a great job for them. And then that's how my hobby blog became a business. And since then, you know, I've added more clients and have spoken around the world about Pinterest. And now that's what I help people do.
Wow. So Two things come to mind. One thing is, you were a nurse, so you weren't like an entrepreneur running a business when this started. This is interesting. So I would think that you would probably in some way or at some point had like this doubt in the back of your head that like, not only am I a nurse and I shouldn't be helping this company do this, but I'm not a business person. I don't have a business. I don't know how to run a business. And then also, I'm not like, am I an expert in Pinterest? Like, yes, I know how to use it. I've used it myself a lot and I could probably figure some stuff out. But you know how we always have that sort of like, well, I'm not an expert. But really, are any of us experts before we claim and then become an expert? I don't think so. But how would you work through that? Like, or did you even have those doubts?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes. And those doubts still creep up every now and then, but especially at the beginning. And then, you know, throughout this whole process, throughout everything that I've been doing over these past few years, I had to kind of fall back onto my nursing career and my education. Because in the medical field, nobody is ever truly an expert in anything. There's always research being done. We're always learning best practices, you know, methodologies, and things are changing all the time, medications, procedures. All those things are changing. I mean, it's always a continuing, you know, you're always continuing to learn when you're in the medical field. And the same thing applies here. You're always continuing to learn. Things are always changing, especially in social media. So anybody that, you know, says that you are a Pinterest expert or, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whatever the case might be, it's like, you know it at that moment, but it's going to change in the next 5 minutes, you know? So I kind of get a little bit uncomfortable when people call me that. It's like, I know this, I know it in this way, and I know that I can help you to this point, I guess, you know, back then, especially, you know, and, you know, I was very open about that. And I still continue to be. It's like, you know, I can't guarantee you that I'm going to get you 10,000 clicks with one image. There's just no way. Right. And anybody that says that, please walk the other way. You know, anybody that tells you that, because things are always changing, and what worked yesterday may or may not work today. And you got to be flexible with that. And as far as the doubts that, you know, I had within myself, it's challenging. You know, when I'm making, you know, a presentation to go and speak in front of hundreds of people, it's like, well, you know, I got to start planning this ahead. I hope this still works in a couple of days when I go out there and I present this, you know, what if something changes, you know? So there is always that doubt, but I have been in Pinterest, in social media for a few years now. So I know a lot more than I did when I first started, but we all got to start somewhere. And I knew that I was a little bit further ahead than the business owners, and where they were at, they knew what they were doing. They knew their product and their business, and they were, you know, the experts up to that point in their field. So there had to be a lot of trust there. And I really do appreciate that from them.
Right. And I think that that's the right way. Like, they're the experts in their field. Like, I can be considered an expert in my field sort of thing. I make software and now I podcast, right? But I know nothing about Pinterest. And I know as a business owner that the best way, if I decide that Pinterest is somewhere that I could find a lot of customers for my business or my podcast, I know for a fact, actually, that it's not the right way for me to spend my time isn't to go and figure out Pinterest myself. It's to go find somebody like you who knows it.
Yeah.
And that is your business.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of been a struggle for me because I'm kind of a control freak. And
I like to,
yeah. And it's kind of been a challenge to let go of some of those things, you know, and just the trust. And then that also, I think, actually, I know, is that it puts more accountability on me if I bring somebody else into this little world of mine, you know, whether it's, you know, somebody to help me with my podcast or, you know, with show notes or, you know, even the bookkeeping. It's like, well, then they're going to have to know more about my business. And that means I'm going to have to keep things up to a certain level. I can't take, you know, I can't slack off quite as much, you know? So yeah, it's definitely been a learning process.
Yeah. Okay. So slacking off, let's move to work.
Yeah.
Let's start with, you have So you have a business, you have a podcast, you speak around the world, and you have four kids.
I do.
And a husband probably to take care of.
I do.
So you are, I'm sure, quite busy. You have quite probably somewhat of a structured life to get through all of this. So can you, let's think back, today is a work day, first one after some holidays. How did you, or what was the first 30 minutes, or if you have like a morning ritual that you sort of go through, but could you say, take us through the first 30 minutes of today, how you wake up and set yourself up so that you can be productive and get what you need to get done today?
Yeah, actually, this has changed, and it's changed pretty late last year, my morning ritual, because I found that I was waking up, grabbing the phone, getting right into email and starting to think about what I had to do, and just kind of came and hit the computer and started going as soon as the kids walked out the door and got to school. And it just seemed like it, you know, I woke up with stress. I went to sleep thinking about what I had to do the next day, and it just kind of never stopped. And towards the end of last year, with speaking and projects and things I had going on, it just like, whoa, that was just way too much. And through another podcast, you know, of course, gotta love my podcasts. Mm-hmm. You know, that somebody else was out there talking about how they started their day, and they actually started off taking the first part of their day doing things that they wanted to do for themselves, and then getting into work and doing everything that they had to do for everybody else and for their responsibilities and job and that kind of thing. And, you know, kind of, I don't know, I guess as parents, we do this a lot. We do everything for our jobs. We do everything for our kids. And then whatever's left over, we do for ourselves. Right. And sometimes that ends up being next to nothing. So, yeah. So towards the end of the year, I decided, well, okay, I have this fabulous opportunity that I can make my job be whenever I want it to be. I no longer have to punch that clock and be there when somebody else tells me to be there. I can kind of set my own hours, right? And that was one thing that was really attractive about doing this, is that I could be flexible for my kids, for my family, for myself, and that type of thing. So I've decided, and I started this, I guess, probably October of last year, that the first hour to two would be for what I wanted to do, and just to relax and to get into my day and to think, you know, about the things that I wanted to do, go for a walk if I wanted to, and or just have that long lingering cup of coffee. And then when the cobwebs clear and I'm fully awake and the caffeine is kicked in, then I get to work, not just get up and stress, okay, go and chug the coffee or forget about it. And, you know, an hour later it's cold and you never got the coffee and, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's been my morning routine lately. And it's definitely helped me have a better outlook on the day and just approach it with more enthusiasm instead of, you know, just that long to-do list to get through, because I've had that little bit of time for myself to just spend it however I want to.
Yeah. Is that early morning you do that, or?
No, I am not a morning person. Oh,
me neither. That's good.
Yeah. No, these people that get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and, you know, go do their meditations. Like if I meditated at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I just fall back asleep. You know, I can't. Yeah. That is not me. I get up around 7:30. My kids have a late start time. They don't actually leave until a little bit before 8 o'clock. You know, so we kind of get up and, you know, are you up? And there's breakfast. Okay, get out of here, kids. I mean, my kids are older, so they're, you know, they're pretty self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's not the, you know, having to, you know, tie shoes and all that kind of stuff anymore. They're in high school and two have already left the house. They're out of the house. They're in college now. Actually, one just graduated. I have to say that. I'm very proud. She just graduated a few weeks ago.
Really? Nice.
Yeah. Now she lives on the other side of the country, which isn't so nice, but, you know, we do what we do.
Yeah.
So, you know, once they're off to school, then, you know, it's about 8 o'clock. So anytime between 8:30 and 10, when I feel like, okay, I've woken up, I've, you know, kind of done what I wanted to do. And, you know, then let's get to work. Let's get to those emails. Today, I did get a little bit earlier because, like you said, I did only take about 30 minutes because we are coming off a holiday and that email kind of built up. Yeah. Those replies that I had to do and those little things that I wanted to get to so I can get, you know, kind of back into the routine. But yeah, that's really been a big change for me and I think has been really, really helpful.
Nice. And that's a good point to mention it, because although we can get routines, we also, I think we have to be kind of fluid and flexible. Like it's because you have to kind of work with your business and at times, right? You can just change it to, so rather than you like trying to pretend you're relaxing for 2 hours this morning, but knowing you have all this email to respond to, you just do it, just get it done. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that feels better. Now I can continue.
Mm-hmm. I had a few messages that I knew I had to respond back, like, you know, this morning, because, you know, there are people waiting, things, you know, that had to get done. And once those were just like, yeah, now I can do this. Now I can do it. It's just that weight lifted. But it wasn't that, oh my gosh, I have to get it done at 6 a.m.
Exactly.
You know, the difference of 2 hours or whatever isn't going to make that big of a difference for the people receiving the reply, you know? So just give it a little bit, give myself some time. In the first few years of building this, it was nonstop, go, 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 go. And there were times where it's like, I don't even want to say the word Pinterest again, you know, much less think about it, look at it or anything, because it was just so much. Yeah. And, you know, and going back to the healthcare world, it's like, if any of my patients had ever come and told me that they were doing this much for any one thing, it's like, oh, we got a problem and we need to go talk to somebody about that. And let's really take a look if this is the best way, you know, to do things in the most healthy way. And, you know, I would, of course, would have said no. So, you know, why am I expecting myself or, you know, putting myself through that? Kind of have to take a step back and really have more of a balance.
Exactly. Okay, Cynthia, this is going to take us to struggles and failures. As entrepreneurs and as human beings, I think one of our greatest struggles is the fear of just being wrong and making a mistake. Can you, thinking about your business, can you walk us through how to be wrong?
You're going to be wrong. You're going to misspeak. You're going to just make a blunder. It's going to happen. It's just human nature. And I think the best way to approach that is just to accept it. You're going to make mistakes, but then, you know, own up to it. You know, I actually over the holidays and right before, you know, we just kind of left and came back, somebody sent me an email. I got wrapped up into things, my daughter's graduation and travel and speaking, you know, all these things that I had going on, that 2.5 weeks later, this person re-emailed me back. It's like, hey, you never got back to me. It's like, oh. And this is somebody, you know, a client that I should have been taking really good care of. And she was top of my list, but, you know, stuff happens. And, you know, so I apologize. I'm sorry. Get back into the swing. I answered her questions to what we needed to get done, but it's going to happen. You know, I think it's always, no matter what you're doing in life, whether it's life, business or whatever, you fess up to it, you own it and move on. Right.
Yeah. I think that's key. It's hard. Do you ever struggle with maybe getting defeated by that failure too much though? And it kind of knocking you out of the game for even a day or two or three?
Yeah. There's been some things that have gone wrong, you know, and, you know, it gets kind of frustrating or, you know, you get like this, I don't know, sometimes they just seem to snowball, you know, it's not just one thing. And this just happened over pretty recently that, you know, one thing changed, another person's project, this, you know, everything just kind of snowballed. And it was a bunch of negatives right there together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for a couple of days I got down, you know, it was like, you know, what am I doing? Should I continue? Should I change? How can I make it better? What, you know, just all these questions, all these doubts. And, you know, it kind of, you need that time to process. It is a loss. It is, you know, a failure, however you want to look at it. And, you know, if you go, you know, kind of going back to the healthcare thing, you got to have your emotional processing time. You're going to have all those different feelings, the anger and the sadness and all that kind of stuff. And you work through it and you move on, you know. I mean, I could choose right now to shut everything down and let those win and let those, you know, kind of overtake things and go back to nursing and punch a clock and do that kind of stuff. And I know I have that kind of as a luxury. I do have that as an option, but that's not what I want to do. I've worked too hard. There's too much that, you know, that is going right to let those few things just kind of beat me down.
Yeah. Great answer. Okay. Let's end on success and the future. Mm-hmm. A positive note, if you will. It's a brand new year. We're just starting. We're just getting back to work today. Both you and I. Can you tell me what it is that you're looking to accomplish this year to consider it a successful year?
To grow beyond me a lot more. You know, I have hired contractors to kind of help with little bits and pieces of the business. But now I really, this next year, and this was last year's plan, and, you know, for lots of reasons it didn't get done. Mm-hmm. But this year, you know, I really want to continue with that and that plan and that goal to bring somebody else into my business and make it, you know, beyond me. Have, you know, that full employee, whether it's a part-time, and I know it's going to be a part-time employee to begin with, or partner. I'm not sure how it's going to be structured yet, but I realize that I can't continue to grow if it's just me. There's so many things, there's so many bits and pieces, and I offer lots of different services, and it is services that I offer. It's not just the one product that's manufactured somewhere else that I can just put on a shelf and sell, mm-hmm. you know? So I really want this team, or my team, to grow. I really want it to become a true team, to where we're all trying to grow together and build something together.
Nice. I like that. And I think it's probably a good attitude, but it is, it's really, really hard to take that step. Trust me. I know. I've struggled with it for years too, but it's something that I think you'll be happy that you did. So Cynthia, we've mentioned your business in passing a whole bunch, but can you specifically tell the listeners where they can find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, the best place would be at ohsopinteresting.com.
Excellent. So thank you so much for your time. I wish you the best of luck in this coming year, and I think that you're probably going to continue just to kick a lot of butt. But thanks for spending the time with us, and I totally appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sean. I had a great time.
Thanks, me too. Cynthia, thank you very much. That was a lot of fun. I love your story. I love the way you kind of found something you were good at and you just went for it. You started blogging about it, you created your platform, and then you quit your job and went full-time 8 months later. And now you're scaling to a legitimate business out of it. And I absolutely love that. So thank you very much. Cynthia said some interesting things. I have notes here with five very, very interesting things she touched on. But we have to pick one, don't we? Did you get it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I know a lot more than I did when I first started, but we all got to start somewhere. And I knew that I was a little bit further ahead than the business owners, and where they were at, they knew what they were doing. They knew their product and their business, and they were, you know, the experts up to that point in their field.
And that's the hack. Oh, Cynthia, so very well said. I love it. Because you can hear in her voice where she wasn't fully confident that she was an expert in Pinterest. She was an expert in the eyes of her customers and her clients because she knew more than them. They focus on their business, you focus on yours. That's how you become known, I guess, if you want to call it, as an expert in a field. It's really no more than that. You just need to know more than the other person. And it's mostly confidence. This whole mindset of entrepreneurship, to me, the huge, huge part of it is just being confident in yourself, being confident in your expertise, being confident in what you know and what you do, and just trust it and just go with it. And people will, they'll step up and they'll ask you to help. That, like, they'll hire you. They will, trust me. And you just need to know more. Don't lie to people. Don't. And Cynthia even goes on to say how she was fully honest with people. I cannot guarantee you this. I can't guarantee you this. This isn't a get rich quick thing. This is nothing like that. This is just what I can do. I have a proven track record. I've done this. I can do probably this for you if we implement it in the right way. And that was brilliant, Cynthia. I really appreciate it. And I could tell the way you've struggled with it. And now you've kind of moved on and you probably still struggle with it. We all still do. But I think just admitting that and admitting that other people, you have a full-time business that's growing and still it could possibly be a struggle that maybe I'm not an expert. It's like, yes, you are, because you've stepped up and said that you are. And that is really so much of the battle. It really, really is. So thank you so much, Cynthia. All right, well, that was a lot of fun. HacktheEntrepreneur.com/iTunes. If you haven't, please, please, please go leave me a review. 236 reviews, I believe, on iTunes. 5 stars. It's amazing. You guys are great on there, and I love to see them on there, and it really, really does truly help the show. It takes 2 minutes. If you are on an Android device rather than an iPhone because you're just not into the whole iTunes thing, I get it. Stitcher, hacktheentrepreneur.com/Stitcher. And you can leave me a rating and review there, and it also helps. That's for all non-Apple people. Stitcher exists, and it's massive, and it's awesome. And I haven't got a lot of reviews on there, I guess because I don't push it. But either way, I would really, really appreciate it. I put a lot of work into the show, a lot of effort. I know a lot of you are listening, and I truly appreciate that. But if you have 2 minutes, well, I'd be so thankful. So thank you so much. This has been fun. It's always fun. And I look forward to getting some more interviews for you. And I have a stack of them to come out. And there's some brilliant, brilliant, brilliant people that I had so much fun talking to. And I know that you're going to get a lot out of and really enjoy. But until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.